Today, we are taking a break from trying every barbecue spot in Kansas City to catch a ball game. Whether you're a fan of Joe's, Jones, Arthur Bryant's, or Jack Stack, there's only one place to go for Major League Baseball in Kansas City, Kauffman Stadium. And that's our stop on this week's episode of Ballpark Road Trip. Hello, and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. In this podcast, we will be traveling around to each major league city and talking to locals who know their home ballpark inside and out. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and if you're listening to this podcast, you like ballparks, or you're planning on visiting a ballpark sometime in the future. Well, you've come to the right place. Here on Ballpark Road Trip, we will pick a different ballpark every week and cover everything you need to know for your trip, including transportation, tickets, food, places to eat while walking around. We'll talk pregame traditions, postgame spots, and anything else to help make your visit a success. Hello and welcome to Ballpark Road Trip. I'm your host, Jacob Russell Snyder, and on this episode, we will be speaking with the head of tours and special events at Kauffman Stadium, Colby Curry. But first, let me tell you about my visit to Kauffman Stadium. Well, technically, I've never been to Kauffman Stadium. That's because when I went, back in 2003, it was still Royals Stadium. But because it's still the same place, even though it had a massive renovation from 2007 to 2009, I count it as current MLB ballpark number 7 on my list. Let's go back to 2003. This is a couple years post 9/11, but we are still in the middle of the first Bush presidency. Both my local teams, the A's and the Giants, were having pretty good years. The Giants were fresh off a World Series appearance, and the A's were a year post the Moneyball streak. And then somewhere down in Miami, the Florida Marlins were about to stun the baseball world by winning the World Series that year. As for me, I had graduated college from UC Irvine in Orange County, California, and had decided to move with my girlfriend to New York City. She had a summer job, so she was going to fly at the end of the summer, but I wanted to have a road trip and get my car back east. So I took 3 weeks and drove across the country from Irvine, California, to Astoria, New York. And since I was on my own, I decided to make it my second ballpark road trip. I had already done a trip back east in the 8th grade, and this time I was going to hit 5 ballparks between California and New York. Kansas City, Busch Stadium in St. Louis, Wrigley Field in Chicago, Great American Ballpark in Cincinnati, and PNC Park in Pittsburgh. I planned it all out using MapQuest. Remember, this was 2003. I could use the internet to get step-by-step instructions, but I had to print out all my directions. So, I had a big binder full of directions to each city on the front seat next to me. I also had a bag of weed and the 5th Harry Potter book. This wasn't my Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas or anything, but both were very helpful getting me through 3 weeks of motel life on the road. When I'm on a road trip, I like as much as I can to have a destination to drive to every day of my trip. So, I started out driving to Las Vegas. I found a cheap motel, walked a bit on the strip, and continued on the next day. I stayed with a college friend who was acting in the Utah Shakespeare Festival in Cedar City, and then went camping the next night in Eagle, Colorado. Why did I choose Eagle, Colorado? Why does that name sound familiar? Well, because in July of 2003, Eagle, Colorado was the setting for the Kobe Bryant trial. So, I recognized the name on a map as I was planning my trip, and being a 22-year-old kid, I decided that I had to stay there to be close to things. I found a campground, didn't see anything because I got in after 5 o'clock, but going back to that bag of weed, I had heard that people smoked joints while they camped. So I smoked my joint, made a campfire, and read my Harry Potter under the stars. A real coming-of-age moment. The next day, I had no choice but to drive to nowhere. A motel at a rest stop in the middle of Kansas somewhere. They had a Long John Silver's, and I had never eaten at a Long John Silver's, so I made that my event for the day. The fact that I still remember that 20 years later means I made the right choice. But the next day, I rolled into Kansas City, Missouri, and I stayed there for 4 nights. I loved my trip to Kansas City. I stayed with a business associate of my father's and had the days to myself. I'll tell you more about what I did in the daytime later in the show. But at night, I went to 2 games at Royal Stadium. Now, I don't remember the exact date I went to most of these ballparks on my journey, but I remember Kauffman, July 21st, 2003. My birthday. And what a better birthday present. The A's were in town, it was Rich Harden's Major League debut, which he won, and my grandpa had gotten me tickets through his friend with the A's, Mickey Morabito, the travel secretary. So when I got to my seats, I found myself for the first time sitting next to family and guests of the players. So, Rich Harden's family was there. I believe I was sitting next to Terrence Long's sister, who told me some wild story about her brother getting in a fight with Miguel Tejada when he wanted to date her. Something like that. I just thought it was so cool trying to figure out who was related to who and feeling like I was getting some inside knowledge. I went back the next night and spent more time walking around the ballpark. But as I alluded to earlier, this was 2003. It was pre-renovation, so they didn't really have an outfield experience. I got to go near the fountains, but yeah, it was totally different. So I think it's better to talk to someone who has been there post-renovation. Luckily, we have a great guest to talk to.
Kauffman Stadium.
With me on the show today is Colby Curry. Colby works for the Kansas City Royals at Kauffman Stadium. Colby, what do you do at Kauffman?
Yeah, thank you, Jacob. I'm the coordinator of stadium tours and ballpark experiences. So we have guests out throughout the season, the off season, to take tours. And then we also have different experiences like going down on the field to watch batting practice or going up to the radio booth to listen to our broadcasters for an inning or maybe delivering the game ball before the game.
That's cool. I always wanted to do that experience in Oakland. I'm an Oakland A's fan, and they used to have an option to go up and hang out in the booth for a half inning. I always thought that was just the most amazing experience. So that's great that you guys have that. Were you going to Royals games back before the renovation? Because that's when I went to Kauffman for the first time, was 2003, before the renovation. And we're talking a long time ago, a renovation for a while ago. Were you going to games pre-renovation?
I was. I grew up in Illinois and went to, so downstate Illinois. So people think Illinois, they think Chicago. It's actually closer to St. Louis than Chicago and a little bit further to Kansas City, but about equal distance as it would be to Chicago. But I grew up coming to games here at, it was still Royal Stadium when I first came to a game here.
And, right.
I think that's been a good thing. I started with the team in 2006, and then the major renovation was 2007 to 2009. So I think that was really good for me to see what it looked like beforehand, not just the seating bowl, but the behind-the-scenes areas. And I can kind of explain that when I'm out on a tour with fans.
What are the big differences that fans notice? Like me, fans who came pre-renovation, what are the big things they'll notice post-renovation?
Yeah, so post-renovation, probably the biggest thing is the outfield experience. Before the renovation, you could not walk. If you had seats and we had left field seats and right field seats, you could not go see your friend. And if you're in left field, you had to walk all the way around the bowl, past home plate, out that way to get to right field to see your friend inside the ballpark. And now it's easy. You just go through the outfield experience. So it's a 360 experience now. That's the biggest change. And so there are a lot of family friendly activities out there and also things for adults as well.
Let's actually talk tickets for a little bit. As an A's fan, I'm able to get tickets very easily to games. How easy is it to get a ticket to a Royals game? If people are coming into town, should they get their tickets beforehand or can they get a day of?
It depends on the game. I mean, I would definitely suggest for the best seats, get it ahead and also get it through the Royals, because sometimes when you go through other outside entities, you never know for sure if it's a legit seat. So go through the Royals. But a lot of times you can get tickets day of, but for the best seats, really depending on the series, it's always better to plan it out, I think.
Now, as a fan, where do you like to sit in the park? If you're going to a game and you don't have any special connection to anything or a standing room place to watch as an employee, where would you like to sit in the park?
Yeah, so I guess there are two answers to that. Where I usually sit would be where sometimes I get employee seats, like up on the third base side, loge level. So we have three levels of the stadium, and that's the second level. It's just a nice overview of the stadium. And then usually I find the concessions and restroom lines are shorter on that level.
Now, before you continue, because I'm looking at the stadium chart, and for people who might look at it, it might be a little confused. I see a 100 deck, a 200, 300, and 400, and you say there's three decks. So are a couple of those on the same deck?
Okay, yeah. So basically,
or the same level,
walk,
100
walk
and
in
200?
At street level, and then street level, you're at 200, so you just go like down the stairs to 200, and then you continue down those same stairs to 100. So the lower bowl is the 100 and 200, and there is a walkway there that divides it. The second level, or the loge level, it's a 300. So
that, and that's the where you like to sit. That's the area you're talking about.
I do, yeah. And another thing there is craft and draft. It's on the left field side. That's kind of near where I sit. So if you do want to go over there and mingle with friends or get a beverage, that's an option as well.
Can you watch the game from craft and draft, or is it a place just to get a drink and then come back to your seat?
When you walk into craft and draft and you go down some stairs, there are seats and there are benches, and those areas down below, you have to buy a ticket for that. But then up at the top of craft and draft is standing room only, and there are even some tables and a few chairs there where it's first come, first serve. So I always tell fans when we're out on tour, hey, if you get here early, go up to craft and draft, you can be one of those first people to claim that area up there.
And looking at it, that's on the left. That's on the left field corner, the craft and
draft.
Yeah,
yeah, that's
cool.
It is, and that's one of the major changes from the ballpark as well. I don't know how much you want to get into history,
yeah.
But when we opened in 73, that was called the Stadium Club, and so it actually extended down to where the George Brett Lounge is now.
Mm-hmm.
So all that was called the Stadium Club. It was an indoor area that had chandeliers and shag carpet, and it was just a very fancy place for season ticket holders to go, and it was exclusive to season ticket holders. And after the renovation, they opened it up to all fans, and so now it's an open air area. They eventually, a few years after the major renovation, they took all the glass out, and so it's an open air place to watch the ball game.
Great. Let's go back really quickly to different places you like to sit. So you said there were two places. You like the loge because it's kind of close on the third base side, kind of close to craft and draft. And you like the view from up there, second deck?
Yeah, I like the view from there. The view from the front rows of the view level is also good. But then if I had my choice of like anywhere, if money's not a factor and I can go
anywhere, let's do that
the
as well.
Ballpark,
yeah.
I want to go to the Crown Club. So I was fortunate enough one time to sit down there. So that's right behind home plate, the Community America Crown Club.
Oh yeah.
And it's all you can eat, full buffet and food and drinks. And just you're actually closer to home plate, and from some seats there, you're closer to home plate than the pitcher is.
Now, Those are probably season tickets. Am I guessing that right?
Majority of them. Yeah. Yeah. Once in a while you will find some tickets on royals.com. If sometimes the season ticket members, they can return their seats. And if they do that, maybe a few hours before the game, you might get lucky and find those on royals.com or on secondary markets.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Now, tell me about this upper deck, because I remember going to Old Royal Stadium, and besides the fountains, that was to me the most unique part was, you know, the design of this upper deck. How are the views from up there? Is it okay for people if they want to get a nice cheap ticket up in that third deck up there?
Yeah, it's definitely a lot of good seating up there. Now some people that have been to a lot of parks, they say maybe it's kind of a steep incline for an upper deck compared to the newer ballparks. I mean, we were built 20 years before the Camdens and all the other parks after that. So that is a factor, but we have a brew with a view. That's a new thing this year. It's all the way down about like section 402.
And it looks like it's kind of right up above Craft and Draft.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Yeah.
Great.
So that's an option if you want to get a ticket and it comes.
Any places to avoid or anything to consider in terms of views or in terms of weather, in terms of comfort at all?
Yeah. So as far as views, really, there are very few bad seats, very few obstructed seats in this ballpark. I found one a year or two ago while I was walking, and it may have been near an accessible seat on the first base side where there was partial block view. But I would say, like, if you're in those 200 seats, avoid the last few rows because you won't be able to see the complete video board. And you have to keep in mind that in 1973, we had a scoreboard out in center field. And then in the 90s, we put a video board in left field. And then in 2008, we replaced the old center field scoreboard with a video board and high definition board. And so it is so tall that you can't see some of it from the back seats in the 200s. As far as weather, those seats I just mentioned are actually perfect. The ones that I said maybe couldn't see the video board, they're perfect during the rain because you are covered. So really,
What's a bigger issue, rain or heat in Kansas City in like August or whatnot?
Heat in August for sure. So I mean, we like this last homestand, we had some rain, and that happens from time to time. But yeah, the August heat is can be pretty brutal. It's much better now with the natural grass versus back when but yeah, Rivals, or excuse me, Craft and Draft is a great place over on the left field side, third base side, because the sun is always going to be behind you to the west, and you're on that middle deck, so you're covered, and it's open air, but they do have some cool air, some air conditioning blowing in there.
Would you say there's enough, or there's ample seating under the overhang that's not that last row or two, that you might be able to find something in the shade and still be able to see the video board?
It depending on the game time, like it extends down. Most of those 200 seats, especially on the third base side, you're going to have plenty of shade.
On the third base. Okay, that's good to know.
So a day game, I mean, some fans like sitting in the sun, but yeah, the 100s and the early part of the 200s on the first base side, you're going to be more in the sun over there.
I learned to ask these questions when talking to people about Dodger Stadium, because everyone in LA was like, oh yeah, I try to sit under the overhang. I'm like, what? I thought, you know, beautiful California sun, and you get to sit out in the sun, and everyone there wants to, you know, get in the shade. So I found that, yeah, people who like the sun can find the sun. They know where that is. But sometimes it's good to ask about shade. People do like to watch the game, but maybe if it's not their team at the ballpark, maybe they just are there for the stadium. So around the fourth inning, I like to get up and walk around. And we've already talked about Craft and Draft as being a place that people can go and hang out. Bruin View, is that an a public area, or is that a seating location, like a certain kind of ticket that comes with a beer?
Yeah, it's ticketed, but as I understand it, I've not sat there yet. It's new this year, but
gotcha.
It
yeah.
is kind of a general admission. You get your ticket, but then there's also just kind of an area to socialize up there.
Nice. Any other? Because those are the really in vogue things right now. The social spaces. Anywhere else that people can go and wander, whether it's social spaces or things to see at the ballpark, if they're not into the game.
Yeah, well, definitely the Royals Hall of Fame. It opens, so that's in left field, and it opens when the gates open, and it stays open through the eighth inning each game. So usually the most traffic out there is before the game, and then you get about 20 minutes before first pitch, a little bit before the anthem, and it gets really quiet in there. And then depending on how the game is going, maybe third, fourth inning, you'll see a lot more traffic out there, but usually pregame's the busiest time. But it's somewhere where you can either go and walk through it in 10 minutes, or if you want to spend 45 minutes and read everything in there and watch the different videos, you can do that as well.
That's cool. Anywhere else to hang out in the outfield experience? Can you just watch the game from out there? I see people kind of hanging out by the fountains. Are those open to the public, or you have to have a kind of ticket for those?
So it's a mix. We have the Quick Trip deck out in right field. It was renamed this year. New sponsor took over out there, Quick Trip in right field. So they sometimes they sell that as a group, and other games they sell single tickets out there. And then if you buy it as a single ticket, you get your buffet out beyond the batter's eye in center field, and good ballpark fare and your food and drink with it. So that can be a great deal. But then so that's below the fountains, like between the fountains and the outfield. But then up above the fountains, there's standing room only area up there by the statues. So fans can definitely hang out there during the game.
Oh, cool. Great. So in order to talk food, first, I guess I want to ask about transportation, because you guys aren't a big downtown ballpark. You have a little drive and a big parking lot. Is that the easiest way to get to games? Just driving and going and paying for parking?
Generally, in the past few years, that is the easiest way, is driving and getting there. You can Uber there. Sometimes what I hear from fans is maybe the Uber back out of the ballpark takes a little bit longer after the game. So just be ready for that. And there is one bus that goes out there to the game, but primarily it is a vehicle ballpark.
It sounds like there's not really any place around the ballpark to eat. How's the tailgating scene in Kansas City? Are you allowed to tailgate in the parking lot?
Yeah, you're allowed to tailgate. And I would say I haven't been to all 30 parks myself, but I think as far as baseball goes, like we're right there with Milwaukee. Maybe Milwaukee's the most thought of tailgate in baseball. And I think we're right there with them, maybe second. Yeah, it's definitely our fans like to tailgate. A lot of them are also Chiefs fans, and Chiefs fans in football, they're really known for their tailgating.
So if someone isn't able to tailgate, how up are you on food options? Are you the kind of person who likes to go traditional with a hot dog and popcorn, or do you like to try the new thing that the ballpark is offering every year, or do you bring your own food?
When I go to the game as a fan, I like to try something different. So like this year, they happen to have one of my favorite pizzas, local Kansas City pizza, Buffalo State Pizza. So I've obviously tried that before outside the ballpark, but that's something I tried. And we have a few local craft barbecues. So if fans are in town and they really have to try barbecue, we have some options there too.
So I know Craft and Draft is like a little brewery. Any kind of food options, like restaurants or anything in the outfield section, or anything that you know of that's kind of bigger there?
So out in right field, we have Rivals, which is a sports bar, and there are seats, like tickets you can purchase in there, but then you can also, I believe, go in there, general admission, and they have different premium food options in there.
Nice. What's your recommendation for those people who like to come early to get autographs? Do you offer any tours that help them watch batting practice, or are there any tricks or tips to getting in a little earlier before gates open?
So on Fridays and Saturdays, we offer what's called the Early Bird Experience, and that's a $15 ticket that basically gets you in to watch batting practice. And we don't make any promises about autographs, but you are in early with a limited number of fans, probably a few hundred fans, depending on the game, for that. So we basically ask the fans stay on the third base side of the seating bowl, so anywhere from the visitor's dugout, all the way down to left field in front of the Hall of Fame.
Nice.
And then if you're looking for a little bit more of a premium experience, we offer batting practice, watching batting practice from the field. So you are down on the warning track behind home plate, and that is $199. So again, more of a premium experience. We don't promise any interaction with the players, but usually, if I don't have another thing pregame, I'm down there escorting my guests for that. And there's pretty good success of autographs there.
Great.
And then as far as outside the ballpark, before the game, usually I see fans waiting in a couple places, including over by Gate D, first base side. That's where the visiting bus will stop before the game.
Oh, that's great to know. Cool. Let's talk atmosphere for a little bit. First, I have to ask, I asked for all teams. Can visiting fans feel safe wearing their colors at Kauffman?
I was thinking about a little bit before this call, just like what are our features in Kansas City? And I mean, if you want to talk about the ballpark, it's the fountains. But as far as people, it's just how friendly they are. And from the moment you get here outside the ballpark, you might have fans welcome you to a tailgate, to the people at the gate, the ticket takers, to the ushers, just all the staff and the fans are friendly. And as long as you don't rile them up too much, Royals fans are not gonna get combative with you. But just play it cool, and you're more than welcome to wear your colors.
Any rivalry games or any teams that are a little more intense when they come to town?
Yeah, definitely the Cardinals, and we do see a lot of red on those weekends, but we welcome them over here, and we like to make the trip across I-70 to St. Louis and go to the games over there. So there is a rivalry there, and if fans haven't seen the 1985 World Series, they can check that out. And then also the Yankees, they're coming up here soon, and the Royals and Yankees had quite a rivalry in the 1970s and early 1980s with George Brett on our side and all the Yankee greats on that team. So, I mean, the Royals were an expansion team in 69 and kind of came out of nowhere, and 1976 made the playoffs, and 77, 78, 80, and played the Yankees all those years. So.
Any traditions or cheers at the game? Anything that happens on the video board that you particularly like, or any songs that people should know the words of?
So yeah, the fans like to cheer "Let's Go Royals" throughout the game, and Slugger is our mascot. He's a lion, and he will get the crowd going.
Does he walk around the ballpark and people can meet Slugger, or is he on the field mostly?
Yeah, it's a combination. I mean, he's pregame down on the field, maybe participating in first pitches, and then post game, if the Royals win, he's out waving a flag on the field. But every game, he is out in left field at the little K. So on our map, that is
Oh, the little K, yeah.
Yeah, little K out there in the outfield experience. So fourth inning, he's out there taking pictures and meeting all the kids out there.
Oh, that's fantastic. So if someone has some kids, head on out there at the fourth inning. You know what? I've always been surprised, not shocked, but just a little pleasantly surprised by how many adults also go crazy when they see the mascot come by and need to have their picture as well. Anything else? Anything else? Any in-between inning things that you like or you enjoy as a fan at the game?
Yeah, so I guess the other between the inning thing would be the hot dog derby. So that's also generally, it moves around a little bit, but it's usually around the fourth inning. And they have to have it at that time because they bring the hot dogs. We have ketchup, mustard, relish, our three razors, and they enter from the right field bullpen, the Royals bullpen, so they can't be bringing them in sixth, seventh inning when guys are warming up out there.
Right. Got to do it early in the game.
Yeah, so that is like, you talked about adults and mascots. Like adults are placing wagers on the hot dog derby.
Oh, yeah.
And it's very heated. Like people either love, maybe they love ketchup or they love relish, and they get into it. We've had t-shirts designed with the mascots. We've had bobbleheads, and so that's definitely a Kansas City thing.
Cool. I realize we never really did talk about the fountains because I kind of figured everyone knows they're there. If they want to go see them, they see them. But is there anything to know about the fountains? Anything to look out for at all?
So basically between innings is when the fountains are more in their active mode. And then also if the Royals hit a home run, and also before the game. And yeah, I mean, the cool thing about the fountains, so Kansas City is considered the city of fountains. It's been said that we're second to Rome in the number of fountains in the city. And we can thank Mrs. Kaufman, Muriel Kaufman, the wife of Ewing Kaufman, our founder and first owner, because we had some cost overruns when they were building the stadium, and they were talking about cutting the fountains out of the budget. Who needs fountains in a baseball park? That seems silly in the early 70s. And Mrs. Kaufman said, no, we're the city of fountains. We need to have this in our stadium.
As a Kansas City resident, just off topic, do you have a favorite fountain in Kansas City?
That's a good question. I like the one, and I don't know the names of all of them, but the one in front of Union Station.
Oh, okay.
I believe that's the block. And then there's another one when you're driving south on Ward Parkway, which is where a lot of large historic homes are in Kansas City, and it's kind of a roundabout fountain.
Since we're off topic anyway, do you have a favorite barbecue place in Kansas City?
Yeah, definitely. So my personal favorite is Jack Stack.
Hey, and I went to Jack Stack when I came in 2003, and
okay,
that's great. Yeah, I liked it a lot.
Cool. So yeah, I like Jack Stack, which if you're here for the first time, that is more of a sit down barbecue experience.
Right.
And then Joe's, which we still say Joe's in the gas station, but it's not a gas station anymore, but it was a gas station, and it just feels like an authentic barbecue destination. And it's been featured on TV shows and other things online, and it's definitely a popular one to go to. And so the thing to get at Joe's is the Z-Man. So basically, like, it's a sandwich with an onion ring on it and some like provolone cheese, I believe, and then their fries. You can't beat the fries at Joe's.
So if people are here for the weekend and they can only go to one game in Kansas City, would you recommend a Friday night, a Saturday, or a Sunday day game?
So I would recommend Friday night, and that's because we have fireworks after the game. So it's pretty cool fireworks show. They incorporate the fountains into that.
Oh, nice. Does that happen every Friday or specific Fridays?
So Most Fridays. So this year we didn't do it in April, but I believe it was May 17th was our first one this year, and we're going through the rest of the season. So definitely the summer months.
Great.
So yeah, just check the promotional schedule at royals.com and it had that information.
So I guess I'm going to end by asking you, what is your favorite thing about Kauffman Stadium, the building itself?
Yeah, so I think two things. The fountains, because that is kind of our signature thing, and it's a cool place as a fan to go out there and stand, like especially on a hot day, and maybe kind of get a cool little mist off the fountains, and who knows, maybe if you're out there early enough for some of batting practice, you might get a ball, especially like on the left field side. You can be between the fountains and the seats.
Is there any way to fish a ball out of the fountain?
There is, but there are signs all over the place saying do not enter the fountains, and I would not advise it. Like
right.
our operations people are there, and if it's a big home run, like we want to get it back to that player.
Gotcha. All right.
So the other thing would be just the design, which we talked about a little bit. I mean, this ballpark opened in 73 and it's the sixth oldest in the majors. And really like the ones that were built in the 90s, it was kind of like, oh, you know, this is a new age of ballparks. Well, we were kind of ahead of our time. And I like the design of the seating bowl, just kind of looks kind of like a spaceship, kind of maybe a Star Wars kind of thing. But I always thought that was cool when I was growing up. So instead of the round 360 ballparks, like a lot of them were built just a few years before ours.
Well, Colby, this has been great talking to you. This has been so much fun learning all this stuff about Kauffman Stadium. And I want to thank you again for joining us.
Well, thank you, Jacob. Definitely a privilege to be here on the podcast, and wish all of our fans the best, and they can always reach out to me if they want any information about Kauffman Stadium.
All right, so before we go today, I want to talk a little about what to do in Kansas City when you're not at the games. We've talked a little bit about the different barbecue places to go to. I tried Arthur Bryant's when I was there. It was good. It's the oldest barbecue place. And Jack Stack is where I was taken by the family that was hosting me. But there's all kinds of great barbecue places. Look up Best Barbecue in Kansas City and find an Eater article and go find the barbecue place that's close to you or one that you want to drive to. But when you're not having barbecue, I recommend a couple of museums in Kansas City. Number one, the Negro League Museum. Really, really great museum. And you can't, as a baseball fan, go to Kansas City without visiting the Negro League Museum. I'd say the second best museum in all of baseball behind the Hall of Fame. And then in the same building while you're there, go to the American Jazz Museum. If you're into music and jazz, that is a great museum as well. Like we mentioned, lots of fountains to go see in Kansas City and plenty of other things, but make sure you get to that Negro League Museum. All right, that is our show today. Next week, we'll be continuing on this 2003 ballpark journey. We will be headed to Chicago to catch a couple games at Wrigley. Until then, this is Jacob Russell Snyder saying, we'll be headed to Chicago to catch a couple games at Wrigley. Talk to you then.
Thank you for listening to Ballpark Road Trip. If you like what you hear, feel free to follow the show on Instagram at Tours with Jacob. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can send us a message on Instagram or feel free to email us at tourswithjacob@gmail.com. We'd love to hear any recommendations you have for your home ballpark. You can send us an audio recording by using your voice memo app on your smartphone and emailing it to tourswithjacob@gmail.com. Please keep your suggestions and recommendations to a minute or less, but feel free to send as many as you'd like. We'll make sure to get them on the show at some point. Thanks for listening. See you next time.